Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Isabella Garrido, Jaya Kumar, Abiyaz Karim, and Henry Walker. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Tomorrow, on January 30th, Kingston's Real Out Queer Film Festival will be kicking off their 26th year, featuring a new shorts program in partnership with the Kingston Frontenac Public Library and the addition of new forms of media. Over the next 10 days, Real Out is offering 18 programs from over 45 filmmakers, media artists, game designers, and performing artists from 14 different countries. To discuss this year's festival and their new programming, CFRC spoke with Real Out Executive Director Matt Salton. We're following up last year's 25th anniversary celebrations. What can folks look forward to this year?
Well, this year we are, our theme this year is Rays of Light. And that came about primarily because, things are feeling a bit dark. I think we're all feeling a little bit scared about the current political climate and feel like we're going into sort of like the looming shadow of Mordor or Voldemort or insert supernatural baddie here. and so we thought, well, Real Out's always been this little slice of sanity for a lot of people, and it's sort of like a 10 days of immersing yourself in this ecology of independent film and sort of, you know, feel good vibes and equity and diversity and kindness. And so sort of playing on the fact that all of these motion pictures are actually like rays of light. So that's where we kind of went with that. And we have 18 different programs being offered over 10 days between the 30th of January and February 8th. Most of them are at the Screening Room downtown. This year, something new, we are having a little short film festival. It's 4 days, Monday through Thursday, at 6 o'clock each night. There's a different thematic shorts program playing at the central branch of the Kingston Public Library.
I was wondering if you could speak a bit to where that collaboration kind of came from.
Well, I think the library has always been a wonderful supporter of Real Out, and they always put together an amazing suggestion, a display of books and films on their own website. And this year, we had reached out to them to see if they would be interested in collaborating, because they have a lovely space upstairs that is still wheelchair accessible. And it's kind of nice to have like a different venue, so we're not all in one place. And we just thought it was a lovely fit, and they've been wonderful to work with. Liz at the library in particular has been such a lovely help. We're really excited to have that there. And the Friends of the Library have offered free tickets. So if you go to their website, they're offering free tickets that the library has paid for people to come see the short films if they don't have the money, which is wonderful. And there'll be like some free snacks for people as well.
Getting organized this year, is there anything that you're doing differently, or is it more about just, you know, preserving that tradition, providing that space that you guys always provide every year?
This year, we are going to have different video games in the lobby of the Screening Room. So anytime there's the festivals at the Screening Room, we'll have a different video game every night, and they are designed by Canadian artists around the topics of gender and sexual orientation. And this is something that was originally curated through the InterAccess Gallery in Toronto last summer for the Vector Film, the Vector Festival, Media Arts Festival. I was fortunate enough to be there for it, and I just had such a great time. And I thought, how can we bring this to Real Out? And so instead of having like a, you know, a big room with lots of video games, we'll just have one video game each night in the lobby and people can play it. It's free to play. And it's great fun. We just tested them this morning. Great way to spend your Monday morning.
Awesome. Yeah. I was wondering if you could dive a bit more into providing that different format.
Well, I guess like, I think it was, I mean, this is kind of a drag, but this year, a lot of not-for-profits charities had to comply with like new government rules. And so a lot of that was going back and looking at like our mission statement, our bylaws, our articles of incorporation. And when we were looking through ours, I was thinking like, we're classified as a media arts festival. And that can mean pretty much anything that's created through sort of technological means, including video games.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, we only really focus on film. Why don't we try and do something different and mix it up? And a friend of mine who is, you know, works at the Interaccess Gallery, I asked her, by any chance, do you have any queer video game designers? And she said, well, you know, funny you should ask. We have a whole program about that coming up. So that's how that all came about.
Yeah, and what are some of the games that might be featured in there?
So we have, like, there's five different video games. There's and like some of them, like for one, for example, is made through Roblox. So people who are, might be familiar with Roblox should find this kind of interesting. There's sort of navigational games. There's like role play games where like there's like a video chat where you just kind of play around with that. There's some that are like, I don't want to spoil anything. So like you can mm-hmm. you choose whether or not you play as like your gender, you choose your gender and then you navigate dating. There is a stealth game called Flaccid that we played that was a lot of fun that requires a remote control where you sort of navigate a trans body, in the words of the game designer, a trans fat body. And then you navigate that character down a road where very large and looming words and labels come towards you, and you have to sort of literally navigate around those words in order to get to your destination. It's a hoot. We're really looking forward to seeing people play these games, and they're very rudimentary as well. Like this is part of it was part of a larger workshop. So don't expect Super Mario Brothers, but also I think some will surprise people.
You spoke about this at the start, but I was wondering if you could dive a bit deeper into the importance of this event specifically this year and at this time.
The festival, so I joined the festival in year two. So I had been at the first festival that was organized by a local artist and activist, Marnie McDermid, as well as Susan Lord and a few other people from Queens and also from the town. And I saw myself represented for the first time authentically. And my brand of activism, I didn't know what my brand of activism was other than like I recently came out and I really liked film. And I realized this was a great way to invigorate myself, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined the committee, the collective, in 2000, and here I am running the organization years later. Although the political climate has changed, it's also now regressing, and I can feel that. I think a lot of us can feel that have lived through this before, especially in the States. But also, it seems like it's right around the corner, breathing down our necks here in Canada. So I think we have to be hypervigilant, and I think like we have to really value the spaces that we create for our communities. And, you know, like I have to, you know, acknowledge, you know, that I am, you know, a white, cis, you know, gay male, but like I have to acknowledge that there are a lot of people in our community who are really already feeling the pain and pressure. You know, a lot of queer people of color, obviously a lot of trans, non-binary, gender non-conforming folks are really being attacked right now. And we have to be allies, and we have to be able to create these spaces for these folks, or just not even create them, but for those folks to feel like they can just take them. So, you know, don't wait for, you know, for us to create these spaces. They're going out and taking them. I think that's what we need to do. And then for our programming, it's the same thing. It's like, who do we, you know, we had over 400 submissions from all over the world. So our programming committee, which is, you know, a handful of people who are, you know, reflective of our audience, we said, who are we making this festival for? Right? Do we show a film about Trans 101 where we show someone, you know, taking tea, or, you know, hoping for, you know, gender reassignment surgery, or watching the surgery, you know, all of these things that we see time and time again, but we can also watch that on National Geographic or, you know, whatever, the WB. Like, these stories become familiar and very accessible, and also paints a very limited picture of trans bodies, for example. And so we look for films that are not made for cis straight audiences, but in fact for the audiences that we were meant to create this festival for in the first place.
Once again, that was Executive Director Matt Sultan on this year's Reel Out Queer Film Festival. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Abiyaz with the latest in campus news.
Thank you. Good evening, folks. I'm Abiyaz from CFRC News, and you are listening to our segment, Campus Corner, the segment that keeps you up to date on everything happening at Queen's campus. This week, we have big events lined up. The student elections, a wellness-focused yoga session, and a suicide alertness training program. Let's dive into the details. So, Queen's student, it's time to make your voices heard. The voting for student elections are officially open, and it will run until tomorrow, January 30th. It is your opportunity to choose the next group of student leaders and vote on important student fees that will shape the campus. It's quick and easy to vote. Undergraduate students can head to queensams.simplyvoting.com, while graduate students can cast their votes at sgps.simplyvoting.com. Remember, your vote helps decide who represents you and what initiatives get funded. So don't miss out. We also understand elections and voting can be overwhelming. If you need a break from all this stress or stress from work, you can join the yoga session on Thursday, January 30th from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Faculty, staff, students all can take a part in it. It's all-in-one level yoga. It's a part of the Thrive 365 Wellness Initiative. This Hatha-based yoga class will be held in Studio 4 at the Athletic and Recreational Center, commonly known as ARC. It's designed to help you stretch, strengthen, and relax a combination of meditation, breath work, and classic yoga poses. Whether you're new to yoga or experienced yogi, there will be variations for all levels. The class is free and exclusive to Queen's employees and students, but you'll need to register in advance. For details, contact Daniel Diaz at daniel.diaz@queensu.ca. Later that same day, on Thursday, January 30th, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., students, staff, and faculty can take part in SafeTalk, a suicide alertness training program at Gordon Hall. This workshop is designed to help participants recognize when someone may be having thoughts of suicide and connect them with the right support. The training follows the talk model, tell, ask, and listen, keep safe, and includes videos, discussions, and interactive sessions. Participants who complete the 3-hour training session will receive a certificate of completion and a workbook. The cost is $20 for students and $30 for staff and faculty. Registration is required, and you can get more details by contacting Health Promotions at mhp.sws@queensu.ca. So, there you have it. Student elections, a relaxing yoga session, and an important mental health workshop, all happening this week at Queen's. Whether you're voting for the future of campus, taking a moment for self-care, or learning how to support others, make sure to get involved. So, that brings us to the end of this segment. That's all for today from Queen's Campus. Stay tuned for more updates on Monday. I'm Abiyaz from CFRC News, and you have been listening to our segment, Campus Corner. Over to Isabella for Sports After.
Hello, Gales fans. You're listening to the CFRC Sports Desk with me, Isabella Garrido, your CFRC Sports Reporter. Let's dive into what's happening in Queen's athletics this week. We're sweeping our way into championship season as Queen's varsity curling team is set to compete at the OUA Championship from January 31st to February 2nd. The action is happening at the Idlewild Golf and Country Club, hosted by the Laurentian Voyagers, who, fun fact, are also the reigning champs. 16 teams will hit the ice, all hoping to take the crown. Can Queens curl their way into victory? We'll have to wait and see. Over on the ice, the Queens women's hockey team, as we know, came on top Ontario Tech, skating away with a 2-1 win. The Gales struck first with Sophie Hudson capitalizing on the power play late in the second, assisted by Karis Colley and Sarah Campbell, just to recap. Then in the third, Sophie Aldred added an unassisted goal, giving Queens some breathing room. With Ontario Tech answering back on their own power play, but wasn't enough to stop the Gales from taking the W. Special shout out to Queen's penalty kill unit, shutting down 4 out of 5 Ontario Tech power plays. If you're going to take penalties, at least make sure you can kill them off, so props to the Gales for that. Next up, Queen's faces off against Ottawa at 7 p.m, and if their momentum holds, this should be another solid showing. Ottawa's been strong defensively, but Queen's power play is heating up. My prediction? A 3-1 Queen's victory with a late empty netter to seal the deal. Let's see if they can prove me right. A few other away games are happening this week, including the women's basketball team competing against Ottawa on January 31st. Our women's volleyball team is also competing against the Mustangs on the 31st. A back-to-back game for the women's hockey team against Carleton on the 31st, along with the men's basketball team also competing against Ottawa on the 31st. That's a wrap for this week's CFRC Sports Desk. I'm Isabella Garrido, and now back to Christina Laurie for your weather report this evening.
This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, January 29th, it's going to be hovering around zero, daytime high of -1 and a 60% chance of flurries. However, the temperature will drop off exponentially overnight, hitting a nighttime low of -16. Thursday, January 30th, we're going to see a daytime high of -11 with a 30% chance of flurries throughout the day, a mix of sun and cloud otherwise, and that drops down 10 degrees overnight to a frigid -21. Friday, January 31st, we will see sunny conditions, but it still will be cold with a daytime high of -11. Saturday, February 1st, we're going to see a daytime high of 2 degrees, dropping down to -11 overnight. Sunday, February 2nd, we'll see a high of 4 degrees with a 45% chance of precipitation. And then Monday, February 3rd, we'll see a daytime high of 3 with a low around the zero mark. This is Jesse Bell with the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week of Monday, January 27th, 2025. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles and Edwin to Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes Phase 2 of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2 and St. Lawrence Avenue. Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard at Elmwood. Expect delays while a contractor upgrades the intersection at Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Elmwood Street, including replacement of street lighting, new traffic lights, replacement of asphalt on roadways, and a new multi-use pathway south of the intersection towards Bath Road.
Hello, I'm Henry Walker, CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History. Here's today's concert and events calendar. Later on Wednesday, to celebrate the Lunar New Year, a public dragon dance will be taking place on Sydenham Street near City Hall at 4. The Kingston Frontenac Public Library Rideau Heights branch is running a cooking workshop focused on helping reduce food waste and making the most of your ingredients. The free course, One Earth, starts at 6 p.m. The Queen's Winter Engineering and Technology Fair is also taking place on Wednesday from 10:30 to 8:30 in Mitchell Hall. On Thursday, the Reel Out Film Festival opens at 8 p.m. with The Drag Goes to the Movies opening gala partay. Tickets for the evening are available online for $25. Reel Out continues with screenings every day till February 8th. The Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. The play Sharing is Caring opens Thursday at The Spire. The play explores themes of friendship, secrets, and the shifting dynamics of relationships on a Halloween night gone awry. Tickets are available online for $16.30, with doors opening at 7. Additional performances will continue till Sunday. On Friday, The Buttle and Daft Brewing will both be hosting their weekly free karaoke nights. Doors open at 9. On Saturday, the Spirit of Winter Festival starts with an opening ceremony in Springer Market Square from 6:15 to 7 p.m. The Kingston Public Market also runs in Springer Market Square from 8:30 to 4 p.m. On Sunday morning, the Runner's Choice Lawn Run starts downtown outside their store at 8:20 a.m. All ages and paces are welcome. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 1 p.m. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Again, I'm Henry Walker, CFRC intern from the Department of History. We're continuing with today's concert and events calendar. On Wednesday, $5 Dates will be playing some rock and country at Spearhead Brewery from 7 to 10. The Fiercely OK singing community also meets on Wednesday at 7 p.m., this time at Chalmers United Church. Learn simple, nourishing songs by ear in a welcoming, no-pressure setting, $20, or pay what you can. Also on Wednesday, Frank Ryan will be playing a free set at Musiki from 8 to 11. On Thursday, the acclaimed cellist Nicholas Alstead will be performing alongside pianist Fazil Say at the Isabel from 7:30 to 9:30. Tickets are available online ranging from $15 to $72. Also, Beats Workin' will be performing at the RCHA starting at 7. There's a $5 cover charge. On Thursday, Kingston-based musician Taryn McKenna will be playing a free gig at the Grizzly at 8. On Friday, the Toucan will be hosting the Boo Radley Project for a free night of genre-bending funk, indie, and jazz. The Celtic Kitchen Party also will be playing, starting at 9, at Tiernanog. Also on Friday, the Kingston-based singer-songwriter Alex Mundy will be performing at the Isabel starting at 8 p.m. Tickets are available online for $20. Folks can also head over to the Royal Tavern 2.0 to catch Soul to Squeeze performing some old-school rock tunes for free around 9. On Saturday, the internationally known ukulele player Jake Shimabukuro will be performing at the Kingston Grand. The performance, tickets for which are available online ranging from $7.50 to $45.50, will be starting at 7:30 p.m. Also on Saturday, the band Hat Trick will be playing a gig at the RCHA from 8 to 11 with a $5 cover. Bands The Empties and The Backsteps, alongside musician Quentin Cofftree, will be playing a concert at the Broom Factory. Doors open at 7 with tickets available for $17.31. On Sunday, Danny DeRue will again be performing a mix of rock and country at the Caesar Company from 6 to 9 p.m. This is a free event. And finally, Savannah Shea will be performing at Musiki Cafe and Whiskey Bar from 4 to 6, again for free. Have a concert you would like to add to our online and on-air concert calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.